Reading from Isaiah. We're taking a little break this morning from the series we've been doing to look at harvest specifically. Now, Charity and I have got a favourite game we like to play after dinner. It's called Take Two. Anyone come to it? Sometimes it's called Bananagrams. It's a very simple game. You should definitely play it at home. It's a lot of fun. You just get your Scrabble letters and you put them in the middle of the table, and then you have to take, you start with seven letters, and then you have to turn your letters into like a crossword, if that makes sense, where everything's a word. And then once you've complete, you've used all your letters, you shout, take two. Everyone has to take two, and then you get two more letters, and you have to put them into your crossword, and then you can rearrange them at any point. And then when all the letters are finished, the first one's finished. It's really good. It's a good game. And because we play it quite a lot, it means that now, every time I see a word, I'm mentally trying to think of all the other words I can make of it, because I have to rearrange it later in the game. So we're going to play that game. So if I can have the next one, please, Amy. Thank you. We're going to have the word harvest, and you've got a minute or two to come up with as many different words as you can. Off you go. How many did you get? 22. Oh my word! Right. If Countdown ever comes to World's Cove, we know who we're putting forward as our reigning champion. That's incredible, 22. Wow. Right. I've got three. No. I did get more than three. But there were three that formed the basis of my reflections on harvest. And the first one is rest. We all get rest. It's one of the options, yeah. First one's rest. And the reason why I think rest is important when we talk about harvest is when we read that passage in Isaiah, what God commands is, on the Sabbath day, make sure that you take a break. Now, you never take a break. Never. God says, make sure you take a break. One of the things I like about harvest and the fact we do it every year is because it builds into our lives a rhythm of once a year we stop and actually look at an apple and think, my word, that's good. So there's one point in the year where it comes up to harvest and I actually go round the shops in the supermarket and like, I need to be grateful for this because there are people who don't have it. We should do that all year. But it's nice harvest where we have a point in the year where we actually look around and we look at a basket like that and we're like, oh my word, we've got so much to be thankful for. That God has created a world where something like this actually exists. I mean, what is this? Ah, good. A sweet potato. Because God looked at potatoes and thought, eh, they're all right, but they could be improved. And now we've got these. There's something about creation and about harvest that gives an opportunity to stop and actually reflect and be grateful for all the good things that surround us all of the time. So my first word to break out of harvest is rest. Because it's not that there isn't lots to be grateful for, it's that we don't stop and think about it. It's not that there's not a beautiful world out there that God has created for us to enjoy, it's that we don't spend long enough to stop and notice and give thanks to the God who is behind it all. The earth, the world, is full of his splendour. The psalmist says, where can I go from your presence, God? God is everywhere. You look around at creation. You look at the love within a family. You look at the hope within a little child's eyes. There's beauty in creation. There's beauty in the world. The question is not whether it exists. The question is whether we stop long enough to notice it. I've got a little video to show you that I think demonstrates how easy it is to miss. So, Amy's going to show you this little clip. Let's put that into context for us. Sorry, the video's not particularly good quality. It was CCTV. That was Joshua Bell. In 2007, he played for 45 minutes in a metro station. Joshua Bell is regarded within the States as one of, if not the best, classical violinists in the country. He played the following week and sold out some ridiculous venue, and the tickets cost $100 a pop to listen to that fella. He played a violin worth £3.5 million.
For 45 minutes, one of the most talented violinists in the country played a violin worth £3.5 million, and three people stopped. You saw it towards the end, I don't know if you could catch it, but there's just one lady who just stands there with her shopping and drinks it in, because she recognised him, she saw him 6 months ago, and probably paid a small fortune to hear it. I mean, there's beauty around us, isn't it? It's not a question as to whether the world is beautiful, whether there's beauty, or whether there's glory, or whether God resides in the universe. The question is whether we ever stop and rest and notice. I don't know, I reckon I would have walked past. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I would have noticed how good he was. But the same question comes to us with God is, will you stop and realise how good he is? Will you stop and be thankful and realise how good he is? Will you rest a while and notice how good and pleasant it is to dwell in this world? Will we ever notice and stop and think about how good a sweet potato really is? Or do we just rush past, like all the commuters, missing out on a world famous violinist putting on a performance for 45 minutes? Let us not ignore the miracles all around us, the food we eat, the fact there is light when we wake up. This world is drenched in beauty, and sometimes we just need to stop in order to appreciate it. Next word I made out of harvest was have. Do we get have? Yeah. Oh, yeah, good. Well done. Well done. People got have. That's excellent. And that's because I couldn't make thankfulness out of harvest. It's impossible. Too many letters. But anyway, so I made have, which kind of makes the same thing. But I watched a TED Talk. Anyone seen TED Talks? Do we like TED Talks? They're good, aren't they? They're like 20 minutes from an expert talking about something. They're brilliant. Highly recommend it. Watch some TED Talks. But I watched one by a Benedictine monk. And it was very good. And something he said was very profound, and it stuck with me. I watched it a little while ago, and it stuck with me. He said, too often we think that happiness produces thankfulness. That too often we think in our mind, if only I was happy. If only I had this, this and this that made me happy, then I would be thankful. He said, no, it's not true. Happiness does not produce thankfulness. No. Thankfulness produces happiness. If you want to be happy, do not wait to accumulate enough stuff or things or experiences in order to then one day be thankful. Benedictine monk says, no, you get it the long way around. If you want to be happy, just start by being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, be thankful in all circumstances, regardless of what you are going through. You can find something to be thankful for. And if we build a culture of thankfulness, if we spend our time like we did at the start of the service, thinking about things we are thankful for, that will make us happy, not vice versa. In the wonderful words of Kung Fu Panda, powerful film, there was a saying, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That is why it is called the present. I know, deep stuff, isn't it? The deepest thing Jack Black has ever uttered through the medium of an animated panda. Today is a gift. That is why it is called the present. Let's not think that happiness produces thankfulness. It's not true. If we build a culture of being thankful, then that is what will make us happy. And then we read from Isaiah that the worship God expects and wants and desires and blesses is to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke, to share your food with the hungry, and to provide poor with shelter. Right, we're going to need a bit of interaction here. I need 10 volunteers. But I will just pick people. And you just need to stand at the front here. Jess, can you come and stand here? Thank you. We just need 9 now. That's good. Anyone else? Right, we just need 10 people. Nice and quickly. It's all right. You don't have to do very much. Dave and Hannah, if you can come, set wonderful. Amy, if you can get anyone here. 10 people. Wonderful. We've got 1, 2, yeah, it's wonderful. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. One more lucky person. Right, 10 people. Never sit at the front. It's like a comedy gig, isn't it? Never sit at the front. Hold on, I actually need my bit of paper for this. Right, here are 10 beautiful volunteers, and I've got here the finest fruit juice that Audi had to offer. Perfect for sharing.
So I thought, this is good. We're going to share some of these out. So I'm going to give one to you there, Amy. I'm going to give one there to you, Jess. Well, I just need to check this. And then I think we need, I think you guys are going to get, you can have one there as well, Tracy. And then one more for you over here, Amy. And, one more for you, Jess. And, two more for you over here, Amy. And two more for you there, Tracy. And two more for you there, Jess. And Joe, would you like one? It's not for you. It's actually for Amy. There's three there more for you, Tracy. And how many have you got, Jess?
Four.
How many have you got, Hannah?
None.
Oh. I think Jess should have two more. Now, how many have we got? We've got seven people. And they haven't got any. Oh, these people... I think what we should do, there's seven, well, there's three here. I think we've got quite a lot here, haven't we? And we've got three here. So so these three, they're for you lot to share. And this is for Amy, isn't it? It's for Amy. Well done. Perfect for share. Perfect. It's quite sad, isn't it?
Look how sad.
The reason I did that is because that's how wealth is distributed in the world. That's why I had to look at my notes, because you had to like scale it up. That Amy gets that, and these lot get this. Amy, what should you do now? Share them out. Thank you. Give these guys a big round of applause. Amy's going to go and share these. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Well done. You'll never volunteer again.
Let's give one to Mummy and Daddy.
The reason I wanted to do it at the front is because there's something I think quite shocking about actually seeing it done. Because every one of us looks at that and you're like, that's just so unfair. I mean, that's really, really unfair. And I mean, I'm just talking about, you saw how sad they were. Like, I'm just talking about sweets. But that's how wealth and resources and food and access to medicine and education and opportunities, that's how it's distributed in our world.
So I don't think it's a great surprise that Isaiah says from the words of God that the worship that God desires is that we would set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? God says, I'm actually not that fussed about your religious activity. I don't really care about how you worship, whether you do it in a big cathedral or if you do it in a little group, whether you do it with a place full of stained glass windows or if you do it at the top of a mountain. I don't really think God cares too much about that. He says, actually, the kind of worship I care about is that you share your food with the hungry and that you provide the poor wanderer with shelter. It's why I love harvest. I think there's something good about us taking food and bringing it to the front and saying, no, we're actually going to share. We're going to share what we've got. Because when we witness it, it's so unfair. When we think about it, we know it's unfair. We know it's shocking that there should be people in this country who don't have enough food in their cupboards. What else can we do but to give? But I don't give because I don't care. I don't give because I forget. It's not that I don't care, it's not that I'm cold-hearted, it's simply that it doesn't cross my mind that that is how things are unequally shared in our world. So that's why harvest is important for us, because it reminds us. It brings back to the forefront of our mind, no, there are people who don't have enough, we need to keep sharing. We need to keep putting stuff in the basket at the back over the course of the year to help food bank. I need to remember that, because it's far too easy to forget. When I was at uni, I was very careful with money. I used to buy those sausages that weren't allowed to be called sausages because they didn't have enough meat in them. They had to be called bangers because they were just made of wood and water, I imagine. They were terrible. It was truly awful. I didn't live off very much at university. I was very frugal and scrimped and saved. But there would be two occasions over the course of the year that you would find me wandering through the supermarket tills. You'd be like, what is this guy doing? I'd be getting the fancy stuff. Pesto. I'd be going in my trolley. Be getting branded items. Not everything in my cupboard would be Tesco. What was that? Tesco Basics. That's why I used it. All the white, you know, everything is white. That used to be my cupboard. But no, twice a year, suddenly it would be full of colour and vibrancy and brand. And I'd have meat and other exciting things and all the posh stuff that I would never have other. And you'd think, Seven, what has got into you? Why are you being so frivolous with your cash all of a sudden? And then you would look carefully and notice in my left hand was my dad's credit card. Because twice a year, my parents would come and visit or just send me some money. Then I would go, because it's very easy to spend money that's not your own, isn't it? It's great. It's like when people give you a voucher and then you go and suddenly you're like, well, I have to spend it. Not really my money. It's something really, really freeing about spending money that doesn't belong to you. And the question I have for us this morning as we think about sharing and harvest is, well, to be honest, whose is it in the first place? Because I spend my life paying out of my dad's credit card. Not my physical dad. But everything I buy comes from my Heavenly Father. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Everything that I own comes from Him. So when it comes to sharing, I need to remember that. To be honest, it was never mine to begin with. It's all from God. It's all from God. We need to stop and rest long enough to appreciate it. We need to acknowledge that thankfulness produces happiness, not the other way around. And we need to build a culture of sharing, of remembering that there are those with less, but also remembering that everything we had comes from God in the first place. Because if you are blessed to have more than others, build a longer table, not a higher fence, as someone said. Let's pray, and then we're going to finish this morning with a final song. Father, regardless of the weeks we've had or how much we feel we have, we know that there's loads to be grateful for. We know that we can be thankful this morning for breath in our lungs and light in the world and an earth that is drenched in your beauty. May we learn how to stop and rest long enough to appreciate it. May we be thankful for everything that you give us. That we can, as it says in Thessalonians, in every activity, in every day, in all ways, may we be thankful to you, God, who gives us far more than we can ask or imagine. And I pray that us as a church and us as individuals would be known as people who share, who readily give to those who have less, because we acknowledge that everything comes from you in the first place. And we have a responsibility to loose the chains of injustice, to break the yoke, to share the food with the hungry, and to provide the poor with shelter. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.